You read in the newsletter that David and Kate Spencer were going to be sharing with us today, but they came down a bit sick, and we heard last night that they couldn't come. So we look forward to having them sharing with us another time. They work up at Flinders Uni, reaching out to the students there. Loving Father, help us to hear your voice today and help us to respond accordingly. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, "As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and the sin which holds onto us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us." Yeah, the Christian life is a race. And for the majority of people, their life is not a 100-metre sprint, but a long-distance, cross-country, ultra-marathon. And it's a good metaphor to use for living the Christian life and for facing some of the challenges and the opportunities that God gives to us. Sometimes we're running in a pack with others, being inspired by them and us inspiring them. Then other times we're running all alone. Sometimes we are running with the wind at our back, and other times it's square on in our face. Sometimes it's life on a smooth, even surface, and we can sort of recover and look around and take some of the time to enjoy the life that God is leading us with. Other times we're running across pebbles that are like marbles and it's slippery and we've got to be so careful. Sometimes we have to wade through mud and sometimes even ice. Often we're running with pain, groaning, cramping muscles, joints on fire, pushing through the pain, pushing through the fatigue. We run with sunny days, we run with sweltering days, we run through the night when there's no let up from the heat. We run through the wet and through the wind, through the wintry conditions, through the storms that come our way, through floods and sometimes times in our life that feel like blizzards. Sometimes it's an even gradient. Sometimes then we're pushing up seemingly endless mountains, not being able to see even the top because of the cloud or the darkness. And then suddenly plunging over the top down into the thick undergrowth to trip us up and entangle us in the dark, dank, swampy valleys in between. Creeks to jump over, raging torrents to wade across when at any moment we are afraid that we'll be picked up like a leaf and swept who knows where downstream. Yes, life's not a stroll in a park on a sunny Sunday afternoon, is it? So the question we ask is, how are we to last the distance? If it was just a simple matter of being a run, well, we could get physically fit, we could train up, and our strength, our own strength, would carry us through. But we're not talking about a race. We're talking about life. Life following Jesus, the call that we all have every day. to follow him. But it seems that life demands us to be more than we are, to be more than we can be, it seems. And sometimes, if we're honest, we wonder if this is some kind of divine joke. Is God taunting us? Is God cruel? Or is life itself teaching us what God intended it to teach us all along? To show us that we cannot face life on our own. To show us that the only way we can face all of the eventualities of life is with him. And we learn it and we forget it, and we learn it and we forget it, and we learn it and we forget it. Philippians 4:13 says, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. So, incredible verse, isn't it, if you take all of it together? I have the strength to face all conditions. Can you think about that this week? What is it? What conditions are we going to be facing this week? I can face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. And one of those I am statements that Joy read in John 15. Where Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him or her will bear much fruit. For you can do nothing without me. We sometimes forget that he's the vine, and we try to go it alone. And life will always knock us back. Now, if we don't know the Lord, we'll get bitter, angry, shake our fist at circumstances, or try to manipulate and push and shove. But if we're believers, we'll know that life is just bringing us back to where we need to be, back on our knees before the Lord. That's where we always need to be. That's where we will always find what we need to be all that we need to be. In union with our Lord Jesus Christ, we can face every eventuality of life. That's what the passage in Romans 8 talks about. And that's what these wonderful promises throughout the Gospel of John talk about. The promises of our Heavenly Father. They go together. Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8 to start with. This Bible got wet and then it's dried and it's kind of like cardboard. Romans 8. Look at these verses, 31 through to 39. So much of how we face life is determined by how we face God. When we think of God, what do we think of? And our idea and our concept of God often is formed when we're very young. And sometimes through our parents giving us lovely models and lovely examples of, and it sometimes is easy for us then when we come to know the Lord for ourselves, we can transfer some of that understanding. But for others of us, it's not at all. We get a very warped picture of God if we look at our parents and then try and transfer that up. So we've got to come just straight to him. We've got to try and put all those other things out of the way and hear what Jesus says when he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. wonderful Saviour, a Father who cares, a Father who loves, a Father who wants just the very best for us. It's just that He knows what's the best for us more than we do. But look at verse 31. It's just got this statement there. Underline this in every colour you've got. Never forget it. God is for us. God is for us. Some religious experiences that we may have had, and certainly many religious experiences that people have around the world, is to give them the very opposite of that. But God is for us, it tells us in that verse. Verse 33, God is saying to us, I myself have declared you not guilty. And then in 34, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right-hand side of God and He's pleading with Him for us. These promises of our Heavenly Father. As Neville read verse 35, there are seven things there. Seven's the number of completion. Those things in verse 35 are the seven eventualities of life that cover every possibility. And with all of that, there's nothing missing, there's nothing not covered, there's nothing not taken care of. And so in verse 37, Paul's able to say, no. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. In all of these things, we have complete victory through Him who loved us. You can never separate that. Nothing in all of creation, in fact, verse 39 says. And that's nothing. Nothing in all of creation that will ever be able to separate us from God. And as Colin said that great word in the prayer, let's never forget that He's the great I Am. We've been looking at that over these weeks. He's the great I Am, the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning from the end. And He's for us. And He's in us. How we need the Holy Spirit to break that through to us. Our Lord is more than sufficient for all the eventualities that will come in our life. In these I Am statements, and now turn to John. In these I Am statements, they're not just random things that He's throwing out there. But in those statements, He's declaring how He is able to meet all and every need that we may face in life as we follow Him. There are seven of them. As I said, seven means completion often in the biblical understanding of that. Those seven eventualities in Romans 8, and now these seven I Ams that are made, is like taking the great I Am, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, and then breaking it up isn't the right way of saying it, but then looking at that great I Am of who He is, and then seeing Him in specific situations in our lives. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door, the gate, I am the good shepherd, all of those things. He meets the eventualities of our life as we face them. We don't meet them alone because he is for us and he is in us. And it's in him, as Romans says, that we overcome. After Easter, we're going to look at these seven I Ams one by one. Leading up to Easter, we're going to be looking at the seven statements, seven declarations that the Lord made at the cross. And then after Easter, we're going to go on and look at John. But all of these taken together, there's only one way we can respond to these, apart from in gratitude and with humility, of course. But we take these so that we can live securely. Sometimes it's said that Christians are able to live with reckless abandon. It's not reckless abandon at all. It's living with Christ-like abandon. There's no risk in this if we're basing our security on the Word of God and on the promises of the Father himself. Where's the risk? That's why we've got a Bible. That's why we need to read it. That's why we need to go over it and over it and over it, so that it not just gets deep down into the very DNA of how we think and how we respond and how we act and how we react, but that it'll stay there too. It'll be constantly refreshed by the reminders of it, as the Spirit wants us to be sure, confident in him. So we live securely in him, not with reckless abandon, but with Christ-like abandon. This week, that's how we can live. Those eventualities that you were thinking about before, those all conditions, I can face all conditions. What were those conditions that you thought of at that time? What is it that's down the track? It may be that you don't know what's down the track. That's the condition. It's unknown. Or you're in a waiting kind of a game. They can be hard. You may be surrounded by people and you're lucky. You may be on your own, but you're blessed. Because you've got all the angels around you. You've got the living God before you, behind you, above you, below you, to your left and to your right. There's nothing that can happen to us that doesn't happen to him too. We face nothing without him facing it with us. And so, you know, one of the beautiful statements from the cross is where Jesus cries out with a loud voice, it says, "Father, in your hands I place my spirit." That's how we face life. That's how we face the moments. When I was a young guy surfing and I'd take off on a wave, it's very frightening when you take off on a wave because it suddenly feels a lot higher. It'd be like getting on a horse. You suddenly feel like you're way up there. Once God had got hold of me, I lived a bit of a rebellious life before God got hold of me. But always when I took off on the wave, this was my prayer. "Father, into your hands I place my spirit." And I'm not meaning that to play down where this statement comes from when Christ is facing the unfaceable on the cross. But it's because of what Christ did on the cross that we are able, every moment of every day, in our weaknesses, in our struggles, in our fears, in our perplexities, in our joys, in our rejoicings and celebrations. Father, into your hands I place my spirit, which is the real us. Apparently that prayer was quite common in Jewish households for little children to pray as their last prayer for the night. May it be. Whether we pray it out, I guess is not the point, but that's our attitude. That's our stance. That's our posture this week in whatever we're going to be facing. Total dependence, total trust. Like that Hebrews passage says about running the race with our eyes focused on Jesus. Loving Heavenly Father, we can never give you thanks for what you've done. We can never give you the thanks you deserve for it and for the wonderful promises that you've given to us. Help us, Father, to say thanks by living this week in the light of these promises. And help us to encourage each other. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.